1340 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
And good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's John DePietro, your independent man, the chosen one. Afternoons 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540. It's WADK. You can always listen online at WADK.com or DePietro.com. Right-hand side, just click and listen live. Or, what's that? You have a smartphone? You're in luck. Free apps, TuneIn radio app, Simple radio app. Maybe you have Alexa. You just then search WADK, and it comes in crystal clear audio. In case you're just getting in your car and you're wondering, what is this talk about a tropical storm? Folks, it looks like tomorrow night, right now it's a hurricane, Hurricane Jose, Category 1, but sometime starting tomorrow night, Tuesday night into Wednesday, is when it's really going to hit us. It's seemingly more like a nor'easter. Heavy rain, maybe 2 to 3, even 4 inches of rain, and then potential wind gusts, 40 miles an hour. So Tuesday night overnight, it's going to be stormy. Wednesday sounds like a very stormy day. Thursday sounds like even then a stormy day. Heavy surf, a lot of people taking their boats out of the water, but that is the latest. Is it a hurricane? No. Will it bring heavy wind gusts? Most likely. Will it knock out power? This is Rhode Island we're talking about. Certainly a potential. Certainly a potential to knock out some power. Hopefully National Grid has trimmed the lights. Folks, but that is the latest in case you're just putting on the radio wondering what exactly. So plenty of time, no problems today, no problems tomorrow. Tuesday night, overnight, Wednesday stormy day, sounds like Thursday could hang around, still some rain. Wednesday, Thursday don't sound like great days. All right, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Good afternoon to the one and only Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Good to be with you.
Well, Justin, as you and I had predicted, last Thursday was the first, quote, public hearing regarding the proposed PawSox Stadium. And it's almost as if you and I had seen the test ahead of time, because it's basically as we had mapped out and it was orchestrated that way. I want to get your thoughts on it, but here's what I saw. I saw a highly organized effort as far as they had a pep rally type gathering with union and T-shirts and Save Our Sox. Their message is very simple, that it's as if there's a group of people that hate baseball, hate the Paw Sox, want them to leave town. That's their message. We can't let this. It's too much of the fabric. It's about green grass. It's about kids smiling. It's about hot dogs. They even brought in some nuns. It's about, you know, what America's all about, the American flag. We can't let this become Benny's. As if, I mean, the argument is not, boy, let's take a vote. Who wants the Paw Sox to leave? The whole argument and discussion should be just on the financing and who's going to pay for this and how should we be the hook on. But what really threw me was just the length of time of 4 hours they dominated. And by the time the public actually was allowed to speak, more than half of the senators sitting on the panel had left.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you haven't ever gone to testify out there in the audience, that's often how it kind of feels, is by the time you actually get to say anything, the people you are expecting to talk to aren't even there. There's maybe two or three kind of nodding, not as in falling asleep. But other than that, you don't really get heard. We did predict a lot of this. I mean, it was funny. One of the great things about Facebook and social media is you can see behind the curtain somewhat. And so the pipe fitters and plumbers union actually, they took a field trip for their apprenticeship classes, and they all went to the protest or the rally before the hearing. So there was definitely that aspect. What was kind of surprising, though, is they almost didn't have to do it, because the Rhode Island Senate is apparently so determined to make this happen that they scheduled 4 hours of official supportive hearings before anybody else could even get to the microphone.
That's right.
That was kind of surprising and I think uncalled for, almost an error, because it just makes it seem so over the top, especially when you have the opposition being quite a cross-section. I mean, you had Sam Bell, progressive Democrat in Rhode Island, Pat Ford, leader of the Libertarian Party around here, and Steve Frias,
yep,
who's more or less Libertarian, but but pretty much a conservative Republican. And they all were speaking against it using facts, figures, long reports. Whereas from the other side, you get sayings about saving our socks. You get PawSox Chairman Larry Lucchino reading a poem to the Senate Finance Committee. That versus facts, and then the unions getting out of work early, I guess, to go make a lot of noise. I don't know. You almost wish or almost think they're overplaying their hand, but then, you know, you realize this is Rhode Island, and that's difficult to do around here.
I think you're right as far as, though, Justin overplaying the hand, because as I watched it and realized I was wasting my time watching this whole thing. I mean, I thought first hour, maybe, you know, the hour to set the stage, then they would start to allow some public comment. Even I didn't think it was going to be 4 hours. And on top of that, Pawtucket Mayor Grabean even said, we're going to scrap a lot of the speakers. I mean, they basically had a six-hour program planned and then felt, you know, we don't even need that. I think to me, this is almost like a trial where you're trying to get to the facts. The defense is saying, you know, this is about whether or not people love baseball and love the Paw Sox. And that's, you know, what you're trying to defend about, where, again, as I said, those that were speaking in opposition, that's not what they're there for. They're there to try to say who's going to pay for this. I think that Sam Bell, leader of the Progressives, I thought he brought out some pretty good points about some of the land surrounding the stadium. You know, if they, I knew it was a rigged game, but I didn't think it was this much of a rigged game. I mean, I've seen a WWF match even, you know, fairer than this, or the Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. But the tell me your thoughts on Steve Fryers, because I think that says a lot. I think it was unexpected. He's been very quiet since he lost to Mattiello. And consistent of Steve Fryers, he came out with a very reasoned approach as to why he's against the public financing.
Oh, yeah, certainly. The reasoned approach and the length of his report, that's very much Steve Fryer's kind of a approach to these sort of things. What I think I haven't spoken with him or anything in that regard, but what seems like the most significant part of that is that he was such a close challenger for Speaker Mattiello in the election last year. And that Mattiello being the sort of, to the extent there's a weak link in the triad of government approval you need to get your multi-million-dollar handouts, that's the Senate President, the House Speaker, and the Governor. He's kind of the weak link in that triad. So the fact that his very near competitor, but for 100 or so mail ballots, came out very strongly against this in a reasonable way, at least puts a lot of pressure on the Speaker, I think, to make sure that whatever he's getting in this deal is worth it. Because if anything looks suspicious in the next year or two as this comes together, Steve Fryers is well positioned to come out and say, look, I told you guys this was wrong, and everybody knew it was wrong, and he went along with his union pals.
Yep.
So that was the most significant part of it being an initiative by Steve Fryers as opposed to Brandon Bell or somebody else from the GOP. And I think that made a good show.
I agree with you, Justin, because I'll share with you and in the audience, not 1 week goes by that someone does not ask me if they think Fryers is going to run again. And a lot of times I think those questions are coming from, and I'm sure they're asking a lot of people, but I hear repeatedly people ask me, do they think Fryers is going to run against Mattiello? And it's an unknown with the Mattiello camp. And number one, that as much as it seems to have faded, but the whole Frank Montanaro thing did not help him. But I think this, you know, the House remains a little bit of a wild card. And he has not tipped his hand as much as the governor has and Senate President Ruggiero. I just wonder if now, as you said, he better make damn sure it's worth it, whatever he's getting. Because Steve Fryers is almost, you know, putting it out there like, I'm going to hold you accountable on this issue. And as much as they can do all this dog and pony show and pep rally and handing out shirts and then they even bust in the nuns and everything else, the general voters that I talk to, if they put this on the ballot, Justin, I think it goes down 80-20. People do not want this stadium publicly financed.
Right, and with respect to the Speaker Mattiello, the fact that Sam Bell of the Progressives was there as well, because the Progressives are in some ways more frightening to the establishment Democrats.
Good point.
In the General Assembly.
Yes.
And so looking at this coalition puts a lot of pressure on the deal to be sparkling, a sparkling deal, like the inverse of 38 Studios. And the one new detail from these hearings should have them concerned. It was that Stefan Pryor from the Commerce Corp. Sort of said, you know, vaguely, we already have commitment for $50,000 a square feet of space around it, you know, the additional economic development. He wouldn't say who, but he's promising it won't have any incentives. And that, what came out at the hearing was that's critical. If they've included these ancillary development, as they're calling it, in their estimates that make the deal work. So if you don't get those bars, restaurants, whatever store, t-shirt stores, all those things, that hotels, whatever they're expecting to be flocking to a minor league, the proximity of a minor league baseball stadium, if they don't get that in pretty short order, they're not going to be, the deal's not going to work. And that detail is kind of new, and I don't know that people are going to trust that very much. And if it looks like they're falling behind those markers, and that's been kind of the hallmark of Rhode Island government in the past few years, is not coming up with, not hitting any of our markers. If they come short of that by the next election, then you've got Progressives and Steve Freias out there having been unified against this. I think it should cause some concern among the insiders.
I agree with you. And it's interesting, again, to me, and you tell me what you think. And again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. It was last Thursday night. It went, I mean, 70 people signed up. It went well into past 1 o'clock in the morning. And to me, if you are Larry Lucchino and Guy Default, who seems to be advising them, sitting in the back watching the whole thing, if you're the Paw Sox and their supporters, I don't think last Thursday night could have gone any better, simply because of the way they got that out of the way. They dominated the first 4 hours, and television has to go on the air for 11. The Journal really didn't have a big story about it till Saturday, so now it gets lost into the weekend. And then the next hearing is next week, and it's another home game, so to speak, because it's going to be right there in Pawtucket. And I think they just view this as like one down, and they're just checking off the box until they hit, you know, the magic number, which is they'll finish at 6.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what'll be interesting to see in Pawtucket itself, it was at Tolman High School, is there should be a good number of people who are concerned about the project, because their tax bills, their property tax bills, are going to be directly related to its success. So it shouldn't be a wash. We shouldn't just assume that everybody in Pawtucket wants this thing. A lot might, but a lot might be very concerned about it. So that'll be interesting to watch.
You know what I think is, before we move on to something else, is what is lacking from this is what I would describe as like, who's the real face against it? The last time they had this in Providence, I will give credit to Pat Ford of Libertarian and also that Sam Bell, the Progressives. They, in many ways, kind of became the face of this whole thing. But if I were to ask you, I don't see anyone, for instance, of the three we have, you know, supposedly running for governor, Trillo, Fung, and Morgan, unless you tell me, but who would you see as the face of the opposition of this?
I don't think it's developed quite so much yet. I think I've seen something from Patricia Morgan somewhat against it. I could be misremembering. It's a tricky situation for them, I think, until they have some further indication of where it's going. With a hearing or two, it'd be nice to have them out in front. It would have been nice to have some candidates there the other night to offset the wave of politicians who are supporting it. But yeah, I there's no face. You're right about that.
Just because the truck tolls, that famous showdown she had with Gallison and shutting off the microphone, in many ways she kind of became the face of the opposition of the truck tolls. Plus, you had the Gaspy Project and various other individuals out there. I think what the opposition of this that's lacking is, in fact, just that. You know, who is the face? Who are people going to? There's certain issues. Whenever there's anything with immigration, they immediately just get the microphone in front of Terry Gorman. But I don't see this as the go-to person, other than, I think you're, before we move on, I think you're right. Sam Bell, the progressives, Justin, I agree with you. That's who the Democrats, if you're Mattiello and Sakachi, that they need to be worried about, because from what I understand, he is working aggressively to get candidates to knock out the two of them. The progressives do not like Mattiello, and obviously Joseph Rep Sakachi is his number two. I think you're right. That's the bigger fear up there, as opposed to, you know, just some Republican who may run.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the biggest threat they have is they can run somebody in a Democrat primary, and that sort of short circuits the communication with the people who just automatically vote for Democrats, because they don't know which way to go, and that they actually have to figure out who stands on what issues where. So if people like Sam Beller, or preferably from their point of view, candidates who are going to run on their slate, get out there and are visibly in opposition. I mean, we've been talking about Republicans' faces of opposition, but if there are progressive Democrats out there who can be known, they'd be well situated to run against and pick off a couple of the more establishment Democrats.
Yeah. I before we go to a quick break, I don't understand the whole thing, because they were saying this is round one, and I don't understand this whole thing. So people are against it. Are they supposed to go to every six meetings, and then they're going to put out more information as they go along? I just think they're just going to continue. It's going to be more of the same, how valuable the team is. Again, this is nothing against the leadership team at the Paw Sox, the organization itself. They've been terrific to me, and I like those guys a lot, Mike Tamburo and Mike Gwynn and a lot of the people that work there. But to me, their whole strategy is just going to be apple pie, America, this is what it's all about, fireworks, children laughing, green grass, poems. How about that slideshow the woman had of a younger Larry Lucchino when they're first getting the thing up? I mean, it was like so self-absorbed, Justin. But we're going to come back, folks, and speak more. When we come back, we're going to talk to Justin about that article about all the PR flax in this morning's Providence Journal. And also Channel 12, Ted Nesi. Interesting story. Final vote set on a bill to create privately run Rhode Island highway surveillance system that has certainly kind of tried to sneak in under the system. We're going to talk to Justin about that and a lot more on the John DePietro Show. But, folks, I want to remind you, let JCAL Engineering design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business. These Carrier systems have the highest rebates on the market. They're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you could save over 50% on your energy bill just by having JKL replace that old clunker. JKL Engineering, they specialize in complete commercial rooftop systems from design to ductwork, installation and service. Replacements of these units done in a matter of hours, as well as the ductless bliss systems. Call JKL today for a free estimate at 351-7600. 351-7600. JKL Engineering. Folks, call them. Remember, factory-authorized Carrier, Navient dealer for installation and service, license in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Call JKL Engineering today. They're the best. 351-7600. 351-7600. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show on this Monday. We're going to come right back with Justin Katz, OceanStateCurrent.com. Stay with us.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job, with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Well, Dan's Place, folks, it's Monday night. What's that? Looking for something to do? The game will be on. The crowd will be there. It's always happening. There's always something going on at Dan's Place. I can't tell you the number of people. It's incredible the number of people that say, Juan, thank you for telling us about Dan's Place. Dan's Place is your place. Great food, family-friendly atmosphere, award-winning wings, delicious burgers, and the best pizza you've ever tasted. There's always something happening at Dan's Place. Now, tonight, trivia at 6:30, karaoke at 9:30, plus the Monday Night Football on. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich, just north of exit 5A, right off of Route 95. You just take exit 5A, and boom, you've arrived at Dan's Place. Now, on Wednesdays, they have Wine Down Wednesdays, half-price bottles of wine all day. Thursdays, Mexican Day, all your favorites, Dan's Place. But don't miss tonight, karaoke 6:30, excuse me, trivia at 6:30, karaoke 9:30, plus they'll have Monday Night Football on. It's great food, family-friendly atmosphere, the best wings you've ever tasted, great burgers. I'll see you, and easy to get to, right off of 95. Just take exit 5A, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich. It's Dan's Place.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
All right, and we're back on this Monday. Joining us, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Justin, a story I wanted to ask you about, it just, Ted Nesi, I believe, is the first one that I've seen that has posted anything about this, but I just want to read it to you. The Rhode Island Senate has scheduled a final vote on a controversial bill that would create a privately run surveillance system on state highways to scan license plates for out-of-state drivers who don't have insurance. Now, the legislation, sponsored by Representative Bob Jacquard of Cranston, passed the House early this year, cleared a Senate committee before falling into limbo when the General Assembly session collapsed June 30th due to a budget impasse. State lawmakers set to return Tuesday to wrap up unfinished business, and the Senate Democrat leaders have a final vote on the surveillance bill. If approved, it would go to Gina Raimondo for her signature. She has reservations about the legislation. Jacquard says the bill will increase enforcement, raise money. Opponents say an infringement on civil liberties. I'm just curious, any thoughts on this? And I want to point out that Jacquard was the one. He's definitely kind of a go-to guy in the House. He was the one that stepped forward, if you remember, initially that was defending Carnevale, and then even he had to kind of, you know, they had to then throw in the towel when Mattiello finally, they just pulled the plug on the whole Carnevale thing. But there's something very odd here. I mean, this reeks of a deal. Somebody is making money off this thing. We're not sure who. It already flew through the House, so now you just need the Senate. I'd love you to weigh in on this.
Well, this is one that for the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, I read pretty much every bill that gets a vote on either the floor of the Senate or the House in Rhode Island. And this one has hovered in my awareness for a couple of years. It's one of those bills that's mostly frightening because it sits there until the person who the sponsor gets a political opportunity to push it through, and then boom, it's in. It's very strange. It's relatively new that this is for insurance, but there are indications around the country of, say, stoplight cameras or other license plate scanners for other registration or what have you, where it's essentially just a private company gets a law passed, and then they essentially operate it. It's one of these sort of public-private partnerships that doesn't work out so well for the public, where the private company essentially says, we'll set this up and you'll get, it's almost like the state, rather than collecting the fee, gets almost like a payoff for the private company's purchases. So you have to wonder Jacquard's motivation over multiple sessions to try to get this through. And it was another striking thing about it, when he was actually pitching this bill on the floor of the House in the spring, he almost explicitly admitted, well, you know, we had a hearing and nobody was really in support of this thing. I mean, in the Ted Nesi's articles, he mentions that the insurance lobbyists aren't even for this thing that's supposed to check if people have insurance. So there's nobody for this, but it's going through anyway. Nobody really knows why. Nobody knows who's profiting and how. There's got to be a payoff somewhere for this. And in any event, we're all going to pay for it in the long run based on the loss of privacy.
Well, even in the Channel 12 story, Senator Donna Nesselbush of Pawtucket, she said somebody's making money off this. Now, from what I understand, my sources at the House tell me, as much as that, you know, people are going to focus on privacy rights and everything else, the real money here is whoever decides to give out the contract of the company who would then be in charge of this whole camera system, and there is a lot of money to be made. So is there a public need for this? No. Does it make sense? Absolutely not. But this is one of those things under the radar that they try to slide through, and then, you know, we're all waiting to see exactly who it is that's going to be, if we find out of the trail of who's going to be making the money off this, because somebody's going to be making the money off this.
Oh, yeah, and I've forgotten the exact amount, but the company that runs this will get a big, big portion of the money to run it and for a built-in profit. So it's really creating a market for this product that nobody seems to know the reason for it. And as I say, it's almost like the state's revenue take is like a payoff. Like it's our cut of the sheet.
Yep.
And I have no doubt that there's some, I've been looking, but I haven't found the direct link to Jacquard, but somehow there's some contracts somewhere that somebody's going to get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, to me, he is a go-to guy. So I see him in this, and again, I don't know, but I don't think he could pull this off on his own. He's a soldier for somebody, but just if you look at, he was the one that was then assigned, you have to represent Carnivali when he went through that whole thing of exactly where he lives. So let's just kind of reel this back in. This would not be happening if House leadership did not want it. And so obviously, you know, Mattiello, he's in the mix on this somehow. I mean, it's now it just kind of becomes a game of Clue of how do we figure out exactly how it goes back to him. But what they also do on this is he says, oh, it's going to increase enforcement and raise money. Well, actually, you know, it's not. But what this really does is it helps a firm like this go to other states and say, hey, well, Rhode Island implemented this, and they got this, and da-da-da. And the same thing, I'll tell you, those cameras in Providence, they are ridiculous. I know they raise revenue for the city, but it just turns everybody off. The number of people that tell me that they get something in the mail that says, you took a right on red, but you didn't stop enough and didn't wait long enough to take a right on red. And so then, therefore, boom, you know, you get ticketed on your license plate, and then it's $75. And then if you you can't get anyone on the phone at the traffic court. If you want to go and try to fight it, you got to take time out to try to go and fight it. But it's these things that they do, Justin, to generate revenue, it completely turns off the public. And this is – there's something in the mix here where even you have the state – Senator Nesselbush saying somebody's making money off this. It's just a matter of who it is that's going to make money. Now speaking of, but I want to see how this is going to come down tomorrow. Speaking of making money, I said earlier, Justin, that in the past, people used to leave government to go make money in the private sector and say, you know, government, you had the dependability of the job, you had comfort within the job, you know, very few people. That's why you didn't get paid as much, but you got the pension when you were done, and then you had the job security that a lot of people were looking for. The story in this morning's Providence Journal with Kathy Gregg, and I think she does a good job laying out the number of these PR people, spokespeople that has gone up, how much money it's cost in the state, the salaries these people are getting. Justin, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, but what jumps out at me is we both know that there are no companies in the state that are paying these kinds of salaries for these individuals, no matter how talented they may be.
Oh, well, yeah, that's you mentioned how people used to leave government to get big paying salaries. The thing that there are a lot of disturbing aspects to this new PR push under Governor Raimondo. But one of the more disturbing is the number of even Providence Journal reporters who go on to take these jobs. I think it was three that were mentioned in Kathy Gregg's article.
Yep.
Had transitioned from being journalists to being PR flacks for state agencies. That starts to be very disturbing, because what it does is it turns reporters, part of their career path is now, and they're the most lucrative part of their career path, maybe going into government as a PR flack.
To curry favor. Yeah.
Yeah. How big of a, you know, how hard are you going to take look at government, and how big of an opponent and asking for transparency are you going to be if you're a young journalist and you see 10 years out you're going to be making six figures, you know, churning out press releases for a government agency? That could really tilt the media more than it already is, which is pretty far. But the biggest thing I find with this isn't even necessarily the paid public relations people, but the entire way, it just fits right into the entire way Governor Raimondo is operating government. I mean, if you look at Stephen Pryor of the Commerce Corporation, it's almost impossible to distinguish him from one of these PR people. In some ways, Commerce is essentially a Raimondo promotion vehicle. And even if you saw on WPRI Newsmakers with Ken Wagner, the education commissioner, even he compared to prior commissioners who seemed to want to discuss education policy. It was a lot of kind of PR talk, so the whole government is now being pointed in this direction. And then you add in the roadwork signs with the governor's name. Yeah. He doesn't want to say how much he's paying for it. This whole thing is fitting together. And I will say from a journalistic research point of view, before Governor Raimondo, there were a lot of really smart and in the know government employees, especially in highly technical areas like revenue analysis or taxation, you could get on the phone or by email pretty quickly and would explain something complicated to you to pretty much anybody in the public. And with Raimondo coming in, it was almost within a few months like a curtain coming down, and all these same people kept saying, "Oh, I've got to transfer you, you know, into the spin machine over here." And that's a big disturbing. Whereas before, you would hire PR people and journalists or whoever would go to the PR people to say, okay, what does the governor or whatever politician or official, what does that person think about this and what is he or she going to do? That was the PR person's job, was to convey that information. And they left the other stuff, tax and revenue information, to the people who did tax and revenue. Now it all flows through. It's all about the promotion and the narrative. And that's what's really disturbing, even if it weren't costing any more for direct PR flacks.
Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea's communication director, Nicole Lagasse, $136,000. Now, I'm just curious, have you ever spoken to this individual? I mean, everything that Ken Block has come out with, I've never even heard of this woman before. And she's making $136,000 plus, as you know, that's then, health care, pension, benefits, the whole thing. $136,000 for the Secretary of State to have a communications director? I'm sorry, have you ever spoken to her, Justin?
No, I have not.
No. And during the whole Ken Block of, as much as they were attacking him, I didn't see anything by her. I've never understood Amy Kemp, Attorney General, Public Information Officer, $131,000. My question always comes back to, so you couldn't get anybody to do that job at $85,000. $85,000, no one is doing that job. The only way she does that job is $131,000. It is the amount of money they're throwing in, where in the past it was the individual that was the one that was supposed to be, dealing with the media. And then it just keeps going down the list. And I think it becomes, Justin, I'm looking like, well, if you have one, then I have one. General Treasurer Evan England, his spokesperson, $108,000. You never even really hear from Seth Magaziner, let alone his spokesperson. And then there's two people with this, Randall Rice with the $85,000. We're paying this money, and if anything, with so many things that have gone wrong, a lot of times you can never even get anyone on the, as you say, can't even get them on the phone.
Yeah, well, and the Secretary of State's office is interesting because you do hear quite a bit from Nelly Gorbea herself.
Yes,
true. So you would think if she were relying on a communications person, that would be the person out there. It starts to seem kind of like a crony job kind of thing. I mean, some of them, the Secretary of State especially, that's a position where you almost feel like you're electing the PR person.
Yes.
So why does she need an additional one? Or the lieutenant governor? Why do you need the PR people? And that's another hire from journalist AP.
It's true.
Reporter. And some of those, I will say that, I mean, the treasurer's office, I can kind of understand, because there is a lot of complicated material that people need to sift through, and and Evan England actually does I found he does a really good job. But still, the proliferation of these folks is getting to be a bit much.
Yeah. And finally, before we let you go, again, tomorrow when the House comes back, Rhode Island House and Senate to vote on mandated paid sick leave after committee passage. This is one of those things. I've spoken to people on both sides, and the problem I have with that is the people that try to say, well, we think we came up with a pretty good compromise. I don't know of one private business person that thinks that this is a good idea. So this whole business of any type of compromise on something that basically we would be, you know, an outlier in having this as far as a state. I know the progressives are pushing this, and then the rep whose name escapes me, Aaron Ruggenberg, him,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like him against then in the Senate, Goodwin, and they're almost like competing bills. But this business of, you know, that they've worked out to some kind of compromise, there are certain things that I don't think the state's in a position to compromise. And to me, this is one of them.
Well, the two things I'd add. The first is the difference between the two bills is laughable. It's what size small companies are exempt. So under the restrictive House version, only companies with 15 or fewer employees are exempt. In the less restrictive Senate version, it's 18 employees. As if this makes a huge difference. What
right.
keeps offending me about this is this use of the word negotiation.
Yeah.
That we're negotiating this. Who's negotiating? A bunch of politicians who most of us didn't elect are negotiating with business leaders who don't technically represent anybody in a government way, many businesses don't support them. So, but these are the people they're negotiating, and what they're doing it in a way over what they've counted. They've got some estimate. Oh, this will give this coverage to 100,000 Rhode Islanders. Oh, well, if it's an 18 employee business, then we'll only get this many, and that's what they're negotiating. I haven't heard a single person mention, and we had to actually go do the independent research for the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity to get some kind of an estimate that this is going to cost Rhode Island businesses about $49 million a year.
Oh, wow.
To have this expense. And now that's we didn't hire, you know, PhD economists to come up with that, but it was a pretty straightforward from a federal study that's roughly what you're talking. But that should be what we're talking about in the public. I mean, that should be what the Senate and the House and all these people should be talking about, is who's going to pay this? Where's that money going to come from? How much is it actually going to be? They're not even the dollar numbers. It's almost just like a free giveaway game. It's,
yeah.
It's like playing Monopoly or something. It's like a board game negotiations where nobody actually has authority. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be paying for this
right.
stuff. It's really unsettling that this has gotten this far. And I think a lot of it, as we discussed in the spring, and the same thing with Jacquard's insurance surveillance bill, a lot of this seems like it might have come back to Mattiello's desperate need to pass his car tax elimination.
Yeah. Yes.
And that made him vulnerable. And now with the progressives coming out strongly against
yep.
the PawSox, that gives them even more leverage where they've got to – the insiders have to start paying off the progressives. The bill's gone up a bit.
Well, the final note, I mean, what I've heard on this paid leave thing is that this comes down to Ruggenberg and the progressives were threatening Maryland Goodwin. If you don't get on board with this thing, then we're going to run a progressive against you in a primary. And they mean it, and they're serious. Since she was tight with Paiva Weed, and she traditionally had been a little bit more of a moderate, almost reasonable type of Democrat. But if there's one place where you could get a progressive to run, it is certainly Providence. And, you know, she watched how Ranglin won and beat DeSimone, and you see the rise of Maura Walsh. So it's much as Mary Ellen, Senator Goodwin, she's not passing this because it's in the best interest of businesses. She's passing this to cut a deal with the progressives not to run a progressive against her in a primary. And that is that's not the reason to pass legislation. Folks, he is the managing editor for MotionStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. Have a great week.
All right. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, coming up at 3 o'clock, we're going to speak with Representative G. Russo of East Greenwich regarding this paid leave, the PawSox situation, and then we're going to speak with Representative Patricia Morgan coming up more on this whole secrecy with this camera system that I'm going to talk about. This is absolutely someone who's making money off this. This is an insider deal. There's certainly money to be made. This business of a privately run surveillance system, we don't need it. They say to scan license plates, it's a scam. This is not to scan license plates for out-of-state drivers who don't have insurance. This is the money is awarding the contracts where they have to put up gantries in order to scan the plates. And that's where then there's going to be a payout and the money's going to come from. Hey, I want to remind you, I have good news. In fact, I have very good news on this Monday, and that is the fact that the Hometown Advantage continues at Chapel Grill in Cranston. The Hometown Advantage is back at Chapel Grill now through the end of the month. Chapel Grill, they have been honoring all 39 cities and towns. For instance, this week, they are honoring, and if you live in, this is your week, Jamestown. Newport, Middletown, and Portsmouth. The wait is over. Up to four people you eat in the dining room, just one of you shows proof of residence, and it's 25% off your food bill at Chapel Grill in Cranston. It's all part of the hometown advantage. Again, this week, it's Jamestown, Newport, Middletown, and Portsmouth. Maybe you're thinking of trying Chapel Grill. Now is your week. And on top of that, don't forget tonight, 50%, Monday night, 50% off all bottles of wine. Tuesday, flash sale, all entrees start at $15. Wednesday, Burger Local Brew is just $12.99. Chapel Grill, tremendous. They're right there, right above Garden City. You've been looking for an excuse to try the restaurant. Now is your chance. They have the Sunday brunch from 10 to 2, Chapel Grill. You can log on online at chapelgrillri.com. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Our phone number is 846-1028, 846-1028 on this Monday.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to 1, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
Brought to you by Blenheim Newport, Law Offices of Silva, Thomas, Martlin, and Offenberg, Chris Offenberg, Elder Law, Senior Fit Solutions, and Carol Miller of Reverse Mortgage Funding.
Hey, good news.
If you've got aches, pains, and soreness, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Dave has to say about Relief Factor.
I was in a sawmill accident and suffered with pain and discomfort for 60 years. I heard about Relief Factor and decided to order it. And in 4 days, I was walking without a limp and without pain. I am thrilled.
For more information about Relief Factor and the 2-week quick start for just $19.95, go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
Good news. Paul Massey, the 2017 model year-end one-price clearance sale is going on right now at all three award-winning Paul Massey dealerships. Paul Massey's goal? It's very simple. Clear out every single 2017 Chevrolet, Buick, GMC truck this month at the year's best one prices. Over 600 of the most popular, best equipped models in stock. Now is the time, but you have to hurry because at these new improved one prices, they won't last long. Paul Massey, voted Rhode Island's best dealer to buy and service your new vehicle by the Providence Journal Reader's Choice Awards, Rhode Island's number one Chevrolet dealer, Rhode Island's number one GMC dealer, and New England's number one Buick dealer. You can see why during this once-a-year, one-price sales event. No hassle, no haggle. Bottom-line pricing gives you all the rebates, discounts, finance options, best prices up front, clearly displayed on every vehicle, both on the lot and online, saving you time and money. Call, click, or visit any one of the three award-winning Paul Massey dealerships today and get your best price from Rhode Island's only true one-price dealer. Conveniently located East Providence, South Kingstown, and in Wakefield.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show, where you can always call in. Callers are welcome to call in, 401-846-1028, 401-846-1028. You can email me, john@depietro.com, J-O-H-N @depietro.com. Find me on both Facebook and Twitter. It's John DePietro Show, and as always, visit the website, depietro.com. I want to credit Ted Nisi, Channel 12, Rhode Island Senate scheduled a final vote a bill that would create a privately run surveillance system, state highways, scan license plates, out-of-state drivers don't have insurance. The legislation sponsored by Representative Robert Chouinard. Now, he is like the front man. He's the straw man, so to speak. There's no way that he is just getting this through. He's getting this through on behalf of someone. Someone is going to make money off this deal. And I like, even in the Senate, Senator Donna Nesselbaum of Pawtucket even said, somebody's making money off this. Folks, what this comes down to is you have to then select a company, and they're going to run license plates, so they have to set up the cameras all over the state. You know, I had heard about this scam a while ago, and this has Mattiello leadership written all over it, and that's what it's going to come down to. So if this passes in the Senate, there is some kind of deal in the works. Now, we also don't know if there's a deal with the governor. Governor Raimondo, I don't think she has said she has reservations about the legislation. If approved, it would go to her. She has several options. She could veto it, not do anything about it, which would make it law. She's already expressed her reservations about it. But this thing has, you know, I know a guy type stuff all over it. Because from what I understand, the real money to be made here are all the legal fees that would be need to be done. Again, do we need a privately run surveillance system on our highways? Don't fall for this business of, you know, it's Big Brother or it's they're invading our privacy. That's not what the angle is. The angle is how much somebody is going to make by dishing out the contract. That's where then, you know, that's where they look to try to make money off this. So we're going to speak now coming up. We're going to speak with Representative Anthony Giarrusso of East Greenwich regarding the PawSox, the paid leave, and also this. We're also going to speak with Representative Patricia Morgan coming up at 4 o'clock, and then we'll also have Game of Phones with our friend Sal coming up next hour as well. But those salaries that these people get, it is absolutely outrageous. And you heard Justin say it, this did start with Governor Raimondo. Suddenly, every department, boom, started to have a spokesperson. There's no reason for this money. When we talk about the amount of money the state spends, within 2 years, the amount of money funding all these PR people, spokespeople, all this other stuff, it is jumped over $1 million from 4.3 to 5.4. And for what? Most of the time, what do they get, a press release? And on top of that, you elect the person to be the person to be out in front and talking about these issues. You're not electing the spokesperson to do it. There's no reason. There is no reason for that type of expense. And I come back to, when you're in the private sector, you're trying to hire someone and you're trying to do it. Let's face it. If someone would take a job for, you know, pick a figure, $25,000 less, then that's what you would offer. But the problem that happens is at the state house is this person's getting a $102,000. And then this person has more experience, so they get $107,000. But then this person is really connected, so then they get $125,000. It just starts to become it's like the athletes. It's insane. And I would love to see some of the top companies in the state, how much is their top spokesperson getting? Some of the top, most well-run companies in the state, are they making more than these people at the state house or vice versa? Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show, 846-1028. It's our money. Remember, if your doctor wants you to have lab tests done, but you wonder, does your health plan have a deductible? Can I choose which lab to get my blood work done? The next time you need testing to avoid the high cost of hospitals, visit Eastside Clinical Laboratory. Eastside Clinical Lab offers the highest quality, lowest cost. Eastside accepts all insurances, over 50 locations. There's a location near you. Why pay more? For more information, answers to your questions, and a location near you, visit labchoice.org. That's labchoice.org. Eastside Clinical Lab. They're Rhode Island's only full-service, in-network, independent laboratory, and they've been taking care of Rhode Islanders over 65 years. Patients being responsible, more out-of-pocket costs. Eastside Lab, dedicated to keeping more money in your pocket when meeting your medical testing needs. You don't have to compromise quality for cost. Accurate, timely testing results delivered directly to your doctor. For more information, visit labchoice.org. Find a lab close to you, Eastside Lab. They're dedicated to saving you money. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, we are keeping one eye on this tropical storm, Jose, not Juan, Jose, that seems to be coming this way. Let me just also hear, Wisconsin earlier this year scored a huge deal with Foxconn, and we're getting more information about it.
When Governor Scott Walker puts pen to paper Monday, he'll be authorizing Wisconsin to provide nearly $3 billion in incentives to Taiwan-based Foxconn to build a massive factory specializing in flat-screen technology. In turn, the company promises to invest $10 billion into its facility in southeast Wisconsin and hire 13,000 people. Getting a deal done hasn't been easy. Critics say there aren't enough guarantees in the deal to assure workers won't be laid off or that Foxconn won't leave the state. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
How about that? Could you imagine if we had a deal like that? Hey, how about the immigration protest? Did you hear about this with Nancy Pelosi?
Make America dream again.
Nancy Pelosi was in San Francisco holding a news conference calling for the passage of protections for so-called dreamers.
That bill, the Dream Act, passed.
When a group chanting undocumented and not afraid marched in and took over the event, angry about Democrats negotiating with Republicans on immigration. Pelosi stood, appearing caught off guard, surrounded by the group as they chanted, "Democrats deport," demanding that she do more to protect those who are in the country illegally. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Look at that. I mean, you cannot satisfy those people in any way. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show.
It's where you live, a new England home.
Here we go.
Give it a look, that's all it's
the
own.
The number one.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Well, that's exactly right. Folks, what's this? Tropical storm coming? Is your house ready? Is your garage door ready? You know, I ride around sometimes and see people. They put so much work into their property, into their home. And then what? You have old shabby doors? Well, you can change that. Call Overhead Door Garage Headquarters today and get investment-grade doors. Only Garage Headquarters delivers the fastest local service. Remember what they say. Call them by noon for service today. If they're not there by 5, it's free. And backed by the best door price guarantee. You can't buy a better door for a better price.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
The number one. Remember, this is about more doors, more selection, and best door price value. The best way to increase the value of your home is with investment-grade doors from Overhead Door, Garage Headquarters. And remember, better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road than any other company in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. When you want a door that matches the architecture of your home or business, go with a Rhode Island success story since 1973. 877-62-GARAGE, 877-62-GARAGE.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Good afternoon, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll take more of your phone calls. 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, coming up, we are going to speak East Greenwich Rep. Anthony Giaruso. And we're going to talk about exactly this business at the State House tomorrow. Folks, very dangerous that they're going to be in with a rare fall session. And what are they going to be voting on? Mandated paid sick leave. That is bad for business. The other business that they're going to go after, giving us the funny business, is this whole thing with this secret deal that no one knows about where they're going to have surveillance on the highways and what's behind that. And we'll also find out from him exactly what he thinks the latest is with this whole business with the Paw Sox. So a lot ahead. Then we'll also talk with Rep. Morgan coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll do Game of Phones. It's John DePietro, 846-1020.